Well, there's a sermon up here already prepared for me about does Jesus care? So maybe I'll just use that one instead.
Do you want to turn the light on?
This one here? Well, I don't know. I don't know that my eyes are as bad as yours. Oh, it's always a joy to come back here and to be here with all of you tonight. I'm so thankful for all of you and all that you meant for us in the time that we were here and since then. We think of you often, and it just gives us joy in our heart that the Lord blessed us to spend those years with you and to be able to come back and be with you. And I was thankful to listen to Joe this morning, and I praise God for him. And I'm thankful to know that people I love so dearly are listening to some teaching from God's Word from someone that I think also loves you. And so I'm thankful for him and that he's here with you now and for the good work that you're still doing here. I was reading in the Psalms recently, and I know I'm not alone in this because I've heard many other people say this, that whenever they read the Psalms, that they are so impressed with the relationship that David and Asaph and the others have with God. It just seems so deep and so sincere and so confident, and they just seem so attached to God. And every time I come to the Psalms, I say, I want that. I want that. I want that kind of relationship with God that the psalmists have. And so I look for things every time I come to the Psalms. What do they say? What do they do? How can I develop that kind of relationship with God? And this time when I was looking at the Psalms, I came across a couple of Psalms in real close proximity to each other, and both of them talked about lifting up your eyes. And I thought about that for a while, and how important of a statement that is. As they were calling on others in the psalm to lift up their eyes, I believe they're calling on others because that's what they've done. And that's how they have found themselves in a closer relationship with God, because they lifted up their eyes. And so that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. But we're going to talk about lifting up our eyes to God, and that's where the focus of the lesson's going to be a little bit later. But I thought about, I wonder what else they look at or what they don't look at. What they refrain their eyes from that helps them to develop in their relationship with God. And so I want us to think a little bit tonight about what we need to have our eyes on and what we need to keep our eyes away from, that we can have that kind of relationship with God that we so long for when we read in the Psalms. So I want you to turn with me first to Psalm 101. Psalm 101. And we're going to read the first four verses together. Psalm 101 and verse 1. I will sing of loving kindness and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. So the first thing I want to suggest to you tonight in developing our relationship with God is we need to have that same commitment that the psalmist had. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. And that takes more than just saying it. It takes more than just coming up with a list. Well, this is a bad thing, and this is a bad thing, and I'll make sure that I don't have that. Because if you listen to the language of the psalmist here, it has to do with his heart. He said, I will walk, in verse 2, within my house in the integrity of my heart. It encompasses so much more than what we often package into, well, this is evil or this is wicked, and so I'll stay away from this and then I'll be okay. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. Or he talks about the work, the way of those who fall away. It's not just certain things. It's not just certain practices. But it's also ways of thinking. Worthless ways of thinking that lead us in the wrong paths and lead us away from God instead of closer to God. There's a passage in Deuteronomy where this same word worthless is translated base. I think it's in Deuteronomy 17 where he's talking about, I will have no base thought in my mind. And he starts talking about a way in which he was going to cheat someone out of something he was supposed to give them. And so that just gives you a broader sense of what he's talking about. I will let no worthless thought, no worthless thing, no worthless way before my eyes. I will not let it enter my mind. And so that's going to take some meditation. It's going to take some dedication to think about what are worthless things that I need to get out of my life. What other kind of worthless ways in the world do I see other people following that I need to make sure I don't mindlessly just follow the same path that they do? I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. Listen to that last line of verse 3. It shall not fasten its grip on me. He gives you this imagery of an animal. Maybe you might even think about a snake that lashes out and digs those teeth in, and it's fastened onto you, and now it's got you, and the poison is seeping in. And that's the kind of picture that he wants us to see. And we can fall into that trap when we just allow worldly things to enter our lives and our minds, and we set those things before our eyes, and before we realize it, it's fastened its grip on us. And so often we say, well, I know that that's happened to that person, or, you know, this can be a trap for some, but not for me. But that's not the kind of attitude that I hear in the psalmist that helped him to have this relationship with God. I hear this complete commitment. I will set no worthless thing. I'm going to find out whatever it is that's worthless, whatever it is that's not drawing me closer to you, and I'm going to get it out of my life. You know, it's not just things. It's not just ways of thinking. But I want you to look at verse 6 of Psalm 101. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a blameless way is the one who will minister to me. He who practices deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who speaks falsehood shall not maintain his position before me. It's also people. People can keep us from the Lord. People can keep us from having that kind of relationship that we long for. We read in the Psalms and we think, you know, oh, I want that. I want to have that kind of loving, deep relationship with the Lord. And then we go and we spend a lot of our lives with people that don't care about that kind of relationship, that aren't trying to help us draw closer to the Lord. And the psalmist says, they're not going to stand before me. They're not going to be my companions. And the Bible is clear from in the Old Testament and the New. This isn't talking about having some kind of monk attitude that I need to go live in a mountain because that's the only way that I can get away from worldly people. How are we going to influence the world and enlighten the world with God's grace if we do that? That's not what he's talking about here. But he's saying, I will not allow worthless people. I will not allow people who do not have that same commitment to the Lord be my close companions. They will not be the ones that I spend the most time with. They will not be the ones that I give myself to. It's going to be someone that also wants that. Someone that's going to walk with me down that road in growing my relationship with God. And so he says in verse 6, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. I want to tell you, God has given you a wonderful blessing right here in this building. If you want to start growing your relationship with God, then spend time with God's people. Make this, we often talk about our church family. We need to act like this is our family. And one of the things as you start reading through the book of Acts in the New Testament, as the church was first established in Acts chapter 2, what do you start reading? They were with each other in the temple daily. They were with each other in each other's house daily, sharing their meals with gladness. Sometimes it's studying. Sometimes it's with listening to the apostles' teaching. Other times it's just sharing a meal. But the people that they were giving their lives to were the faithful of the land. And so that those passages in Acts are a good example of what the psalmist is talking about here. Those are the people that I want to spend my life with. Those are the people that are going to help me see the Lord and grow in my relationship with the Lord. Look in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 37. If we want to grow in our relationship with God, then this must be our prayer. The psalmist says, turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. That needs to be our prayer. If you want to start down this path of this kind of relationship with God, you need to say, God, help me to see the worthless, the vanity, the empty things that I'm still allowing in my lives, and help me to empty myself of those things, of those ways, of those people, so that I can give myself fully to you. But turn with me now to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Let's read the whole psalm. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. And so it's Psalm 121 and Psalm 123 that I was first reading that kind of set me down thinking along these paths. And he says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. And where is my help? But you know, I don't think he's focusing on necessarily any particular time of trouble or distress. We're going to talk about that, those kind of situations in our lives in just a moment. But listen to the language that he uses here. Look down in verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. He's talking about this regular relationship of God keeping or guarding you. Look in verse 6. The sun by day, the moon by night. Look in verse 8. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in. And then he says, from this time forth, forever. He's talking about in this psalm on a daily basis looking to God. That day and night, we need to be looking up and looking to the Lord. That we need to have our hearts, our minds, that He needs to be the focus of our life so that we can live by faith every moment. When you think about lifting your eyes up, well, where do your eyes start with? If you need to lift your eyes up, then where are your eyes? Well, you're looking down. And I think of a couple of reasons why you're looking down. Sometimes you're looking down because you're focused on one thing. You're focused on something. And what often happens is you can get so tunnel vision, so focused on the moment, so focused on one thing, that you're not seeing the bigger picture. And guess what? The Lord is the big picture. He is everything. And we need to lift our eyes up and see everything in the light of God. It's not that, again, we have this life where, you know, I need to be reading my Bible 24 hours a day, praying 24 hours a day. You know, you can't even do that. That's not what God describes. But it's life is meant to be lived before the Lord. Our relationships are meant to be seen through God. Our work is meant to be seen through the Lord. Our marriages, our children, everything we do is meant to be seen through our relationship with God and our understanding of Him and how He wants us to live in this world. And so we can't just keep our eyes down and keep saying, you know, because here's what happens. We get focused on this thing, and guess what? I can't figure it out on my own. We start getting in situations and we don't know what to do. We don't know what to decide. We start getting confused. We start getting distressed and things start... How many people do you talk to every day that are dealing with stress? And how many times do we get overly stressed by the things going on in our lives? And I think the answer to that is we need to lift up our eyes. We need to look to the Lord. And He lifts the burden because we give those things to Him. Because we start putting our trust in Him. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. This is a theme you're going to see in both of these Psalms, Psalm 121 and Psalm 123, is not just saying lift my eyes up to God, but lift up my eyes to God who is so far above and grander and greater and stronger than I could even imagine. We talk about God being the Creator. We read passages like Genesis chapter 21, and sometimes we don't let the power of that be renewed and refreshed every time we read it. I mean, just think about that. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Heat. More power than you can possibly imagine because He said it. That's who God is. That's who we're lifting up our eyes to. That's who we're seeing the world through now. We're lifting up our eyes to the God who made heavens and earth. The God who has the wisdom to design all of the things that we see in the universe. And then when we lift our eyes up to Him and we look back to our daily lives, it's not a big deal anymore. God can handle it. Because God is the Creator of all things. And He cares. He cares about me. And He cares about you. And one of the things that you constantly see in the Psalms is that God has His eyes on all the people of the earth. But the Psalms also say He has a special focus on His people. But God is looking down at His creatures. And He cares about what's going on with you today. He cares about what's going on in your life. And He wants you to lift up your eyes and look to Him and start seeing the world through Him, through His care for you. As Joe was preaching this morning and I had these thoughts in mind, I thought, well, this will work out. This will go well together. God has always wanted us to know that He cares for us. And guess what? Jesus was around when this was written. And Jesus has cared for us before He ever stepped foot on the earth. But one thing we see in the New Testament is He took on flesh. And He gave us something that we can look at to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that He cares for us more deeply than we could ever imagine. And that's the cross. He cares. And He wants you to lift your eyes up and put your trust in Him every moment, in every decision that you make. Because what so often happens is that we don't do that. And again, we get narrow and we get focused on the moment and we start saying, I've got to figure out. I've got to do something. I've got... Do you see where the problem is? Is I keep saying I keep saying me, and I can't do it. I cannot figure out this life without God. I cannot make sense of this world without God. I cannot find my way through without the Lord. Look in Psalm 123. Psalm 123 in verse 1. He sings, to you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. You see what he did? It's the same thing he said in 121. I lift up my eyes to the Creator of heavens and earth. And he says here, I lift up my eyes to you who are enthroned in the heavens. Again, he's bringing himself back to the center. That God is the King. God is the Creator. I'm not just lifting up my eyes to someone that's great. There are a lot of great people in the world. There's a lot of people that have lived and done wonderful and amazing things. But there is no one besides Jesus Christ that has ever set foot on this earth that is like my God. That's enthroned in the heavens. That created the heavens and the earth. And he says, to you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, As the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until He is gracious to us. Be gracious to us, O Lord. Be gracious to us, for we are greatly filled with contempt. Our soul is greatly filled with the scoffing of those who are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. You see, what happens is we start thinking, well, I'm doing this. I have gotten myself here. I have made my way. And then we run into situations and we think, well, I've done it, so now I'll do this. I'll figure this out. And we keep trying again and again to do it on our own, and we keep losing our way. And we keep being burdened down because we were created to depend on God. We are created to rely on Him. And when we try to do it on our own, no wonder we're stressed. No wonder we're burdened every day with just the everyday things of life. Because we're created to walk with Him, to live with Him. And so we need to lift our eyes up to the Lord so that we can trust Him and not trust in ourselves. To never become the people who are scoffing, the people who think, I can do this. I don't need the Lord. We need to lift our eyes on Him every single day, because that temptation to trust in ourselves will come to us every single day. And you know, I do this. I mean, it's one of the reasons that this stuck out to me when I was reading in the Psalms. Is I'm start to try to make decisions for my life, and they become so much bigger than they have to be. When I need to turn to the Lord and I need to seek His wisdom, I need to pray to Him and give Him the things that are going on in my life. And then He'll show me the way. He has promised me that. We all know James chapter 1, that ask Him for wisdom and He's going to give it. But don't ask double-minded. Don't ask doubting. But if you ask in faith, the Lord will give to you, and He will give to you abundantly. But so often I don't ask. Or if I do, sometimes I ask in doubting, and then I suffer for it because I'm not lifting my eyes and giving Him my life. And so in our daily lives, we need to lift up our eyes and give it to God. Give God your marriage. Give God your children. Give God your work. Give God your relationships with others. In the words of Paul, give God your life in Romans 12. Be a living sacrifice to Him. And that's where you'll find peace. That's where you're going to find blessing. Okay, so we give God our lives. We start lifting up our eyes and looking to Him on a daily basis with everything. But what about when those really tough times come? What about when we have someone trying to hurt us? Someone in some way that has become our enemy. And it's become a great burden in our lives. What about then? Can we turn to the Lord then? What about when you get that diagnosis of a disease you never thought? You've seen other people go through it, but you never thought it was going to be you. Well, what about now? What about when you have financial struggles? And the list could go on. These things that happen in our lives that sometimes shake us to our core, and we just don't know what to do. We need to lift our eyes in times of trouble. But see, that's the funny thing, is the times when we need to lift our eyes to God the most is the time where Satan and our own pride is pulling ourselves away from Him, saying, I don't have time for that now. No, I don't have time for prayer. I've got to figure this out. Or maybe, I'm in this deep situation. I don't have time to go to worship Because I've got to work. I've got to figure this out. Or whatever it is that's coming on. Maybe it's some kind of tragedy that's happened in your life. And it's so interesting to me. And one way I understand it, another way I don't. But often you'll have believers who will have something terrible happen in their lives, and then you won't see them among God's people for a while. And maybe you'll even get a message from them say, well, you know, I haven't quit, I haven't left the Lord, I've just got to figure this out. And we need to be understanding of people that go through tragedies, and people face things and they grieve in different ways. So I want to tread carefully here. But we all need to look inward within ourselves and say, why am I choosing that? Why am I saying I need to back away for a moment? Why am I not saying I actually need to draw closer? I need to be with God's people more. I need to be in prayer more. I need to be worshiping with God more. I knew a man that his wife of many years became sick. And on the day that she died, I think it was a Wednesday, normal day that the congregation where he was at was going to have Bible class that night. And I think someone even said to him, you know, we understand, you know, it happened today. We understand if you're not going to be there tonight. And he said, there's nowhere I'd rather be. I mean, this was the day his wife died. And again, we need to be careful because of how people deal with these things. But I think that says something to me. That says something that he wanted to go to the Lord, and he wanted to be with the Lord's people who were going to show him the love of the Lord and lift him up during this time. That's what he needed more than anything. And we need to consider that as well. We need to lift our eyes in time of trouble and not fall into the temptation of thinking, well, now I just need to back away. I need time by myself. And so in Psalm 25, a couple of interesting phrases in these two verses. Psalm 25 and verse 14. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He will make them know His covenant. How is He going to do that? My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for He will pluck my feet out of the net. I imagine probably none of us have ever been literally caught in a net. I don't know. Charles spends a lot of time out in the woods, so he may have been caught in a net a time or two. But probably most of us have never been caught in a net. But I imagine most of us also know exactly what he's saying. Where we feel like whatever we're going through has wrapped around us and we cannot get out. We have become trapped. And just like an animal that's trapped in that net and just waiting for its end, sometimes that's the situations we face in life. And here's what the psalmist says. My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for He will pluck my feet out of the net. He looked to the Lord whom he had made a covenant with. And the Lord had made a covenant with him. He will make them know His covenant. God said, you are my people and I am your God. I will be a father to you and you will be my children. I will never, never, never forsake you. I will never leave you. I think that's the idea of what he's saying. I will make them know my covenant. They will know I meant what I said. That when they are trapped in the net and they look to me, I will deliver them. He will pluck my feet out of the net. He will help me to escape. He will deliver me from my trouble. The Lord knows how to deliver. He's had a lot of practice at it. And if we are going to say that we believe in the Word of God, then we should know that there is no one else that we need to turn to in time of need. No one else that can deliver us like the Lord can. No one else who has proven himself time and again to love and to deliver. I think about some of the things that Jesus said. when he said, even talking about daily struggles, daily needs, he says, don't worry. Don't spend your life in worry, because He knows what you need before you ask Him. And He loves to give good gifts to His people. And sometimes I think we question and we think, you know, does the Lord really know how to get me out of this? Jesus talked about that too. He said, when you talk to the Lord, if you ask Him for bread, is He going to give you a stone? If you ask Him for fish, is He going to give you a snake? No. And He says, just like a father, an earthly father, knows how to give good gifts to his children, He says, how much more does our Father in heaven know how to give good gifts to those who ask Him? The Lord knows how to bless you. The Lord knows how to deliver you. And we need to lift up our eyes and give our lives to Him. Psalm 106 in verse 39. Maybe you're thinking, okay, yeah, the Lord has proven Himself. He loves. The Lord has proven Himself. He's faithful. He's a deliverer. He can help me. I do need to lift up my eyes to Him in time of trouble. But what about those times when my times of trouble are because of my own sin? Because what that means is I am in trouble. My life, I am suffering because I turned away from the Lord. I can't turn to Him now. Maybe you're here tonight, and Joe mentioned this morning. Maybe you're here tonight and you think, I can't become a Christian because I know what I've done. The Lord could not forgive someone like me. Or maybe you are a Christian here and you think, I can't repent. I can't come back to the Lord. He wouldn't deliver me from this because of what I've said and done against Him. Read with me in Psalm 106 and verse 39. Speaking of Israel, it says, thus they became unclean in their practices and played the harlot in their deeds. Therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against His people, and He abhorred His inheritance. Then He gave them into the hand of the nations, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were subdued under their power. Many times He would deliver them. They, however, were rebellious in their counsel, and so sank down in their iniquity. Lord wouldn't deliver someone like this, would He? Verse 44. Nevertheless, He looked upon their distress when He heard their cry. And He remembered His covenant for their sake, and relented according to the greatness of His loving kindness. He also made them objects of compassion in the presence of all their captors. Well, we may have done some terrible things. We may have turned against the Lord. But as we sometimes sing, His grace is greater than all our sin. He says He relented because of the greatness of His loving kindness. When you are in time of trouble, especially if it's time of trouble because of your sin, now more than ever, you need to lift up your eyes and turn to the Lord. You need to seek Him with all of your heart, because He will deliver according to the greatness of His loving kindness. And did you see? Verse 44. Nevertheless, He looked upon their distress when He heard their cry. He's already looking. He's already waiting, even now, for you to turn from your sin and to come back to Him so that He can answer your cry, so that He can deliver you. Psalm 26, and this will be the last passage and the lesson will be yours. Psalm 26. How can you and I have a relationship like the psalmist had with God? How can we have a confident and trusting and deep relationship with the Lord? I want you to listen to how the psalmist speaks here in the first three verses. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. Well, let's just stop there for a second. I want you to think about that phrase. If any one of us said something like that, you know what I think we would all be tempted to say? Now, that's a self-righteous person. He says to the Lord, test me and try me. I don't think this is self-righteousness that's coming out in these verses. The reason he can say that, the reason he feels free to come to the Lord like this is because of what he says in verse 3. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. His confidence was not in himself. His confidence was in the Lord. In the mercy of the Lord. In his relationship with the Lord. In the fact that he had been walking before the Lord. That the Lord was before his eyes, that he had lifted up his eyes and he had given his life to God. And now he could walk with him in a confident relationship and know that the Lord would be with him. Look with me in verse 4. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers and I will not sit with the wicked. Does it sound like what we heard earlier? Turned away from worthless things and worthless ways and worthless people to the Lord and His people. I shall wash my hands in innocence and I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. He lifted up his eyes. He saw the wonders of the Lord and he was praising the Lord for that. And that's what he was living his life by. Trust in the God of wonders. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. He loved to worship God. He loved to think about God. Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hands is a wicked scheme and whose right hand is full of bribes. When he faces difficult trials, difficult times in his life, he can pray to God and he can have confidence. He says, as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on a level place. In the congregations I shall bless the Lord. My foot stands in a level place. He felt confident. He felt firm because the foundation of his life was his God. His trust in his God. His belief in the loving kindness of the Lord and his dedication to him. When we keep our eyes on the Lord, then we can have this kind of relationship. We will see His blessings are new every morning. We will find ourselves so deeply connected, so deeply rooted in Him that we never thought that kind of relationship would be possible. But it happens when we lift up our eyes and we put our trust in Him. And so I hope that these thoughts have been helpful to you as they've been helpful to me to think about and to recommit to the Lord. That I will live for Him. The New Testament basically puts a different way of saying what we've been saying all tonight. Lift your eyes up to the Lord. Colossians 3 said, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, we will appear with Him. That's what I want for you. And I'm praying for you, and I hope you're praying for me as well. If we can help you, lift your eyes up and come to the Lord. We hope you'll come as we sing this song to encourage you.